Episode 5, an interview with Paul Van Eeden on gold, inflation, and interest rates, Part 2, how to profit from these trends. You're listening to the Priced in Gold podcast, where we look at the world without the distorting lens of fiat currencies and see the true prices of things as they've been measured for thousands of years by pricing them in gold. Comments for each and every one of our shows are open. You can email me directly, editor@pricedingold.com. You can call our toll-free Price in Gold listener hotline at 888-868-5656. Or you can drop by the website, www.pricedingold.com. Don't make another buy or sell decision without checking the value and trend of your target security in gold. For a limited time, you can get a custom chart priced in gold for any security for only $9.95. Visit PricedInGold.com and check out the custom charts offer on the right-hand side of the page for full details. Make sure your investments are growing in true value, not just an evaporating dollar value. Price them in gold. The first part of this interview covered Paul's background and laid out his views on gold, inflation, and interest rates. In this final segment, we'll discuss what to do about this situation, how to translate this view of the world into investment action.
Interest rates by the end of the 1970s, by the beginning of the 1980s, interest rates in the United States peaked at 15% or more, depending on which term, you know, which interest, you know, which bond term you want to look at. But interest rates were 15% and more based on an average inflation rate during the 1970s of 11%. Today, inflation is 16%. And it's this very high rate of U.S. dollar inflation that's going to keep pushing the gold price higher and higher and higher.
Yeah. Well, and in order to get that under control and give people who are buying these bonds a real return on their money, it would seem that interest rates are going to have to adjust to compensate. Well, either the inflation rate is going to have to come way down, or the rate of interest paid is going to have to go way up, or again, the U.S. government won't be able to issue its notes.
Yes, exactly. And all those things are going to happen. The U.S. government is going to find it more and more difficult to sell their bonds and notes at the current yield. And bond yields have to go up. I think being short U.S. Treasuries right now is a slam dunk. It's the best trade since buying gold in 2001. Because interest rates have to move up to compensate for the incredibly high rate of dollar inflation. So interest rates are going to go up. As interest rates go up, they'll bring down this rapid rate of inflation because the two are tied. You can think of them as two sides of the same coin. But that's assuming that the Federal Reserve doesn't go and directly create inflation, for example, through monetization of the debt or other mechanisms that exist for the Fed to create inflation. But if we merely think of inflation as credit expansion, then the higher rates of interest will bring down the rate of inflation. So all three of those things are going to happen. Bonds are going to get tougher to sell at these rates. Interest rates are going to go up. And eventually, hopefully, inflation rates will come down. But right now, we have a very interesting environment once again in which there's a major disconnect, an enormous disconnect between the rate of inflation and interest rates. And that gap is again an investment thesis as compelling as the investment thesis was for buying gold back in the period 1999 to 2001.
That's very, very interesting. I hope the people who are listening to this are paying attention, because that is some million-dollar advice, I think. Very interesting. So I gather you have a plan for taking advantage of what you see developing. What is the best way to play that, to take advantage of that? Obviously, in 1996 or 2000, buying gold was the simple way to take advantage of the increase that you saw coming in the price of gold. Are interest rates something that people can also take advantage of from an investment point of view?
Yes, absolutely. There are many ways that you can take advantage of the current situation, and particularly if you believe that interest rates have to rise from their current historically low levels. I'm not an investment advisor, and so I don't want to either during the course of this interview try and tell people specifically how they should do that.
Absolutely.
And also, just for full and fair disclosure, in my newsletter, I don't tell people specifically, you know, go and buy this or sell that.
Yeah.
But I do describe the general investment thesis. I describe the macro trends. I describe the market discrepancies when I see them, why I think they exist. And really what I try and do is explain to people what I see and, more importantly, why I believe a particular environment exists and how it might unfold. But to answer your question specifically, yes, absolutely. There are many ways that you can play a rise in interest rates. You know, you can short treasury bonds on futures markets. You can short ETFs that own treasuries. You can do various other strategies that do not involve stocks or futures, but I don't want to get into them specifically.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I'm trying to say is there are many ways that you can plan your financial life according to a strategy on the belief that interest rates are going to rise. And I think it is important to look at the environment, the current economic climate and the environment, try to assess where are we, how did we get here, and what might happen looking forward in the medium and long term. I'm not talking about short-term market trends. I'm not a trader, a short-term trader. But if you understand how we got to the situation that we're in and what is likely to transpire in the future, you can plan accordingly. You can protect your capital. You can manage your financial affairs in such a way to minimize the impact of inflation on your life, or even to profit from changes that might occur if you have capital to invest.
Yeah, absolutely. This brings me to the next question that I had, which was really part of what prompted my getting in touch with you originally. In one of your newsletters a while back, you said that part of your plan was to keep a significant part of your portfolio in cash as you were sort of sorting out the changes and trends and so forth. And when you wrote in your newsletter that when you said keeping part of your portfolio in cash, you meant keeping it in gold. And that immediately prompted in my mind the question, how would you do this? I could think of a lot of different ways. I mean, obviously you can buy bars of and put it in a safe, or you can buy coins, or there's various kinds of certificates, shares of ETFs, and so on. And I wondered what your thinking was behind that and what your mechanism was for keeping your powder dry, your cash, basically, in gold.
Well, you're right, Charles. There are many ways to do it, and there isn't one way that's good for everybody because everybody's circumstances and desires are different. Without going into a detailed explanation of all the different ways that you could buy and own gold, let me just say that what I decided personally to do was to buy bars, bullion bars, and store them myself.
Okay.
And that is not meant to be advice for anybody, but...
Right.
You know, you asked me what did I do. Well,
yeah.
That's what I did.
That's
and it really comes down to, you know, how much hassle are you prepared to take? How much work are you prepared to do personally to oversee your cash position? And how large is the cash position? For some people, it might not be worth to go to the trouble, and for other people, it might be. So it really depends on your personal circumstances.
Well, I've given this same problem a lot of thought myself, and I've kind of wound up with a mixed strategy for that reason, because the beauty of owning physical gold is the elimination of counterparty risks, which in these days has a very strong appeal to me. You don't know when Bear Stearns or some other financial firm that is making a market in some security, for example, a gold ETF or something like that, could get into trouble, and you might find yourself owning this certificate but not being able to actually realize the value that the certificate represents due to a long chain of complicated financial transactions that are beyond your reach, whereas physical gold in your own possession, I mean, there's always a chance of theft or something, but you can manage that, and you use insurance and other kinds of things to mitigate those risks, but you eliminate that counterparty risk, and that's very appealing. But as you say, it has costs, storage costs, money, and there are costs of buying and selling the bars and transportation and all these other kinds of things that have to be factored in. And so it's not the right solution for everybody, but it certainly is a very appealing scenario. And I guess for smaller investors, it could be in the form of bullion coins or other kinds of physical objects that could give a similar sort of effect at the appropriate scale.
That's right. And you know, my feeling is that if you're going to store a significant amount of your capital in gold, you know, don't put it in the closet in your house.
Right.
Go and find yourself a reputable company where you can get, you know, you can rent a safe and you can deposit it. You know, you retain the ownership, but you've got it in a storage place that is very much more secure than what you could do privately.
Yeah.
You know, that's just common sense, and I think if people just used a bit of common sense in thinking about their finances as opposed to believing that they cannot make the right decision or they do not know what to do, and they go out, you know, looking for advice and on the internet or in newspapers, I honestly believe people should trust themselves a lot more than what they tend to do and try to use common sense for managing their personal affairs, especially financial affairs.
Makes a lot of sense to me. You and I were talking briefly before we started the interview about prospects for investments appreciating with respect to gold, over time growing the actual gold value of investments, and how difficult that is. And I thought your comments on that topic were very interesting and might be of interest to people who are listening to this interview. Could you sort of address that topic briefly?
Yes, in short, you know, everybody is talking about the return on their investments, and you know, you almost never hear a money manager or a pension fund salesman coming to your door and say, well, you know, you should invest your money with us and we guarantee you that you're going to lose 2% per year.
Hardly
they
ever.
They always come to you and they say, well, our projections and our analysts and actuaries predict that you're going to make 6% per year for the next 50 years. Well, the reality is that if there was anybody in the world who could make 6% a year for 50 years, he'd very quickly be the richest man in the world. Because you cannot, on a real basis, compound that kind of return. It is impossible. It never ever has happened in the history of the world, and it will never happen. What happens is that you may make 6% on a nominal basis, but if you account for the inflation, you don't make anything in real terms. You may make a little bit, you may lose a little bit. So if you do your accounting in gold, for example, you'll find out that over the long term, and I'm not talking about 5 years or 10 years, in the very long term, investments do not appreciate in any significant way against gold. They may do so in short periods of time, 5 or 10 year periods, but not over hundreds of years. That's because investing is very, very risky. And while some people make extraordinary gains over short periods of time, other people are losing extraordinary amounts of money, either at the same time or at other times. And on a net basis, you do not get this 4 or 6 or 8% compound annual returns. It just does not exist.
So what is the point of investing from your point of view? I mean, if you know and believe that over the long term you're not going to see large amounts of compounding, why bother? I guess is the question. Just put the money in gold?
You could just put the money in gold, but you have to also be aware of the gold market. You have to understand the gold market before you just put all your money in gold. If you put all your money in gold in 1980, you would have been very, very sad about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not as simple as just dumping all your money in gold on one day and thinking that that's the end of the game. But that was a very unique period in the history of gold. So I know that's a bad example to choose, but it does illustrate the point.
Yeah.
The answer to the question, Charles, is that the purpose of investing is not to make money. It is the preservation of capital. That is the purpose of investing. And if you can invest your money and protect your capital against the devaluation of the dollar through inflation, then that investment strategy has done what it is supposed to do. The best that it can be hoped to do is just protecting your capital. If you want to make money, in other words, increase the real amount of capital you've got, you have to work. Work is the only way in which we actually increase our wealth, produce something. And you have to produce either goods or services with a value greater than your expenditures. Because if you spend more money than what you earn, then you're not going to get more wealthy.
There you go.
Okay? So you have to spend less money than what you can produce, than the value of what you produce, and then you have to take the excess capital, that's what capital is. You take that which you can save and protect it against inflation. Now, I don't know of any other way to do it. And there are people who, again, in short periods of time, seem to defy this by making extraordinary amounts of money. But they're not investing, they're speculating.
That's right.
And speculating is something entirely different to investing. And speculating is gambling.
Well, having been involved in the resource stock trades, you've certainly seen a lot of speculation in your time.
Yes, and I do a lot of it myself. But if speculation is like gambling, it's also a bit like working.
Exactly.
You have to put an awful lot of effort into your speculation endeavors in order to try and mitigate some of the risks. You'll never be able to mitigate all the risks, and you'll still end up losing a lot of money from time to time. But if you can make more money speculating than what you're losing, then over time you come out ahead. But that's work.
Exactly. So it's another form of work, but the research, the understanding of the fundamentals of the business, and basically becoming a partner with somebody who is producing a goods and services is what you're doing in that speculation scenario.
Yes, and it's a form of work.
It's a form of work.
investing capital, allocating capital, is work.
Yeah.
And the better you are at it, the higher the chances that you'll be able to successfully allocate the capital. And the less work you put in it, the higher the chances you'll unsuccessfully allocate the capital. But you have to differentiate very clearly in your mind between speculating and investing. And if you buy stock of the biggest, bluest chip company in the world, and you know absolutely nothing about either markets or this business, you're still speculating.
But you're not putting in much work, and therefore
Correct.
The returns may not be everything you'd hoped.
Correct, because you're still speculating. You still have no idea what you're doing. You're just taking a chance
yeah.
that the price is going to go up or that the price will not fall. In fact, an act as simple as buying a government-issued bond can be speculation if you have no idea about interest rates, bond markets, or anything else.
Yeah.
Then you're just hoping that the return on the bond is going to be greater than the devaluation of the money through inflation.
Yeah. I was realizing the other day that just putting your money into an FDIC-insured checking account or interest, you know, whatever, a bank CD, it's insured in the sense that you will get those dollars back, but it's not insured in the sense that those dollars, there's no insurance that those dollars will buy what they were able to buy when you put them into the account in the first place. And so again, you're speculating in the U.S. dollar. You're going long U.S. dollars, and U.S. dollars are highly volatile for all the reasons we've been talking about when you compare them to some more stable money like gold. And therefore, I mean, there are times when buying U.S. dollars is a great speculation, and you can make lots of money, like between 1980 and 2000. But there are other times, most of history, in fact, they've either been paired together through government intervention or because they've just been moving, tracking together, or the U.S. dollars have been falling in compared to more stable forms of money, or even other currencies, especially in the recent history. So it's interesting. People don't think of putting money in an FDIC-insured account as a speculation. They think it's as safe as it can be, and yet in actual fact, they're taking quite a gamble in buying a very volatile commodity, namely this currency, which is being issued at a high rate.
You're absolutely right. You know, what people don't want to believe, just because it implies a lot of work, is that when the world went off the gold standard and when all money other than gold became fiat money, which means that it has zero intrinsic value, it can be created at will, that we all became speculators at that very instant. We have no idea how to do accounting or planning for our future because we have no idea what the future value of this fiat money is going to be. Even the central bankers, in rare moments of honesty, will tell you that the value of a fiat currency, such as the dollar, exists only in the confidence that people have in its future value.
Yeah.
Think about what this means. The current value of the money exists only as a result of the confidence that people will have in its future value. There's no intrinsic value.
Yeah.
There's a short word to describe this. It's all a con game.
Exactly.
And because of that, and I don't mean this lightly, I don't mean
no,
to
no,
make
no.
a
the
joke
word
about this.
Con comes from confidence. It's a
exactly.
game of confidence.
It's a confidence game. And the central bankers will talk about the confidence that people have in the money. And they fully and totally understand that money only has value in relation to the confidence that people have in that money. Now, with that in mind, you then understand that everything that you do with respect to fiat money is speculation.
Wow. Definitely something to give serious thought to. Now, I know that You have a newsletter, and I'm a subscriber to your newsletter. I have found your newsletter commentary very, very valuable. Is there a way that people who are listening to this or reading this interview can subscribe to your letter? Can we tell them how to do that?
Yes, it's very easy. My website is the same as my name. It's paulvaneden.com, so www.paulvaneden.com. And it's a very simple website, so when you land on the site, you'll see commentary and subscriptions, or subscribe, and it's as simple as that. It's all on the website.
Okay, fantastic. I can't recommend it enough. As I say, I personally am a subscriber, and I really, really enjoy it. Now, you used to have some information about speculating in resource stocks, and that's been divided off into a separate newsletter now, this Exploration Insights. Is your letter and Exploration Insights, are they related in some way, or are they both accessible from that same page? Or can you just, so what's the deal with that? I'm a little bit vague on it myself.
Sure. No, they are not accessible from the same page. I used to write a newsletter about specific investments in mineral exploration, in the mineral exploration industry, so talking about specific mineral exploration stocks. But in January of this year, and it actually started last year already, I became of the opinion that the risk profile of the market is changing, and I therefore divested out of a large portion of my own mineral exploration companies, and I am not currently in the market for aggressively buying stocks of any kind. That doesn't mean I don't buy any stocks, but they're so few and far between that you can't write a newsletter about it anymore.
Okay.
So what has happened is a friend of mine and a gentleman that has done an enormous amount to help me with my own investments in natural resources started writing a newsletter called Exploration Insights, and basically took over that part of the newsletter from me. So he writes, Brent Cook is his name. He's a geologist with decades of experience in looking at mineral exploration properties. He's extremely good at analyzing exploration companies and exploration projects. And so he writes a newsletter called Exploration Insights. And for people who are interested in investing in mineral exploration companies, I recommend that they take a very serious look at that, because Brent is the best exploration analyst that I know of.
Okay. Can they, if they just like Google it, or does it have a website?
It has a website. It's explorationinsights.com.
Okay.
Just one word. Explorationinsights, all one word, .com.
Okay. And I can put a link to that on my blog, so that people who hear the interview in audio form can go to pricedingold.com and see the link, get the link there, or you can just type it directly in. Well, this has just been fascinating and wonderful for me. And will I see you in Vancouver again in July?
Yes, for the Agora Symposium, absolutely.
Yeah,
I'll actually be there before that for the Cambridge House Conference as well.
Okay. Well, I really look forward to seeing you again in person, and I thank you very much for this interview. I think it's just going to be riveting stuff for people who are of the price and gold mentality, and others should hear it too.
Oh, thank you, Charles. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Keep well.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that wraps up this interview. As he mentioned, Paul's not an investment advisor, and neither am I. So we can't give specific advice on what to buy or sell, but I think there's a lot of material here to think over. Most importantly, how will rising interest rates affect you? Everyone's situation's a bit different. If you have adjustable rate mortgages, or carry large credit card balances, this is a great time to start rearranging things to avoid the pain of higher rates. If you own bonds or funds that invest in bonds, consider what will happen to the value of this type of asset as rates rise. If you're planning on buying or selling real estate, how would rising rates affect your plans? How will the stock market react as this all unfolds? As the old saying goes, forewarned is forearmed. From following his newsletter, I know that Paul's developing a more refined model of the money supply, one that he feels gives a much better picture than the Fed's M1, M2, and M3. I hope to get another interview with him soon to follow up on this important development. And in the meantime, if you'd like to subscribe to his newsletter, and I strongly recommend that you do, I've put a link to his website on pricedingold.com. You can find it in the show notes. Till next time, keep your eye on the true value of your investments and speculations, know their value in gold, and keep that value growing. You've been listening to the Priced in Gold podcast at www.pricedingold.com. If you're a subscriber, we want to thank you for being one and tell you that we're very aware of your valuable time and mindshare. If you haven't yet subscribed to our podcast, please consider doing so, so that you can have new episodes of our show delivered directly to you the minute they're released. You can find Priced in Gold at the iTunes podcast directory. Simply search for Priced in Gold. We also have a number of subscription buttons and options at www.pricedingold.com.